immediately as I step into this church, I see the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. My name is Yuri, and my wife, Amy. I know you all want to hear my last name, but okay. Yeah, it's Rogayev. Rogayev. So, yeah, Rogayev. Yeah. And you don't even know my wife's Chinese name. Yeah. Wang Jiahui. Okay. Never mind. All right. Yeah, we're Friends of Israel, Gospel Ministries of Canada. And the ministry to the Jewish people is really a ministry of Jesus Christ. Because it's in a lot of the things that Jewish people do, the Jewish people hope for, what they really are hoping for is Jesus Christ. They're searching for Jesus Christ. They're searching for their Messiah. And more often than not, they're looking at all the wrong places. And so that's where, as Christians, our testimony of Jesus Christ living in us is so important. Your devotional life, your knowledge of the scriptures, and your love for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is what really changes their hearts. All right. I will explain. This is now, somebody told me this is a PDF file now and not a PowerPoint. So does it work? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Yeah, we are with the Friends of Israel, and we are a team here in Canada. Friends of Israel is a global ministry all over the world, but primarily in the North America. We have people in Israel. We have people in Poland. We have people in Australia, people in Germany, and we have people in Canada. And so we are a small team for a big, large country such as Canada, but I could not be more blessed. We have ministries going on in Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, British Columbia, Toronto, and Alberta. And me and Amy, we are the representatives for Alberta. There's one couple of doing ministry, but you know what? When I say we as a team, we are as a team as a church as well, as a church body of Christ. And we will never be able to do what we do without the prayer ministry, the biblical ministry of the churches. And so I'm very thankful for every church that is supporting us. So some of the things that we do outreach. We go into the Jewish communities of Edmonton. And that's where we live. We live in Edmonton. It's quite far away from Westlock, but God provides. If you ever have a desire to visit Edmonton, you know, if you're a hockey fan or whatever, reach out to us. We live 5 minutes away, walking distance from West Edmonton Mall. So, but open doors. That's what, for the past year and a half, is what we've seen. Open doors into Jewish people's lives, into their community, into their hearts, into their worship. And it's been nothing but amazing. God is so good. Some of the ministries we do is going to the Jewish Senior Center. And because I speak Russian as well, they have a big senior Russian population. And we just go there and just do visitation ministry. Just talking to them, loving them, listening to them. They have so much concerns and anxiety, and what amazing things you can do if you just listen to some of the people there. Many of them are really not really understood oftentimes. People just don't understand what they've been through. And so it is just my privilege to do that. And so these are some of the pictures of ministry that we do. We go to the synagogue every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. The rabbi, the Orthodox rabbi who doesn't believe in Jesus, he does a verse-by-verse Bible study going through the Old Testament. What a wonderful opportunity. I've never seen a rabbi who is so faithful to the Word of God. And I asked him, what is your purpose? And he said, I want to bring the Tanakh. I want to bring the scriptures to my Jewish people. And I was like, wow, you know, thank God that God is raising up people like that. And so he invites us, invites Amy as well. You know, if you've ever been to an Orthodox Jewish service, the women are on the left, the men are in the center. Everything is separated. In some places, women are not even allowed to read the scriptures. But the fact that Amy, my wife Amy, is allowed to go to these places, it's such a wonderful thing. We also participate in their events, in the biblical Jewish festivals. At every opportunity, we get a chance to just share the love of Jesus Christ, either through the scriptures or physically through our love and sharing my testimony of how I became a Christian or why I do what I do. The number one question is, why? Why do you love us? Well, we love them because God, the same God that has given me eternal life, the same Jesus that has saved me from a life of sin, is the same Jesus of your scriptures, of your Bible. And so my wife, I could not do much of my ministry without my wife. I send her, and the doors are just immediately opened up. Like, what's a Chinese lady doing studying the Bible in an Orthodox synagogue? And it's what a privilege. Some of the outreach we do, just prayer ministry. A lot of people are anxious. A lot of people have anxiety, especially Jewish people. Anti-Semitism has been on the rise by like 300 to 400%. Toronto, Quebec. I have friends who said, I cannot live in Toronto or Quebec anymore because of so much anti-Semitism. And they're moving to Israel. They just don't feel comfortable. Now, thankfully in Alberta, there is not so much, but it's rising. It's under wraps, but I get a feeling that it will unravel at some points. So Jewish people, they will always, more often than not, accept when you ask them, can I pray for you? Can I bless you? Yes, they will take it. What do we do? What do we do? Well, number one, it's just some of our principles. Be honest about our Christian convictions. We're not hiding, we're not secret agents. We're not hiding what we do. We love Jesus Christ, and we want the Jewish people also to love him. And we do it by sharing the scriptures, studying the scriptures together. We're being the Bereans, the noble Bereans who examine the scriptures daily. There's a lot of Jewish people who respect the Bible, the Old Testament, but they don't really understand it. Many of them just ignore it. And what a privilege it is to come and to tell them about our Christian convictions, that their Bible, the Holy Spirit that they read in their Bible, has been poured out also to the Gentiles. And that's many of them think that the New Testament is for the Gentiles, for the non-Jewish people. But I show them Jeremiah 31:31, there will be a new covenant. And that's what the New Testament means, new covenant. And it's for the Jewish people. Number two is we have passion for God's word, for both the Old and the New Testament. That is so important. This is our weapon. This is our power, our strength. This is what we do. We want to reach the Jewish people with the scriptures. Somebody told me a statistic that majority of Jewish people that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ was through reading their Bible and reading Isaiah 53. No wonder that we go to the synagogues and Isaiah 53 is often skipped. It's called the forbidden passage. They talk about Isaiah 52 and they stop at the end of Isaiah 52 and they skip all the way to Isaiah 54. It's a good opportunity to always ask them, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Number three is the ministry of prayer. I felt like during the COVID era, there's a lot of trials and difficulties that me and Amy, that we have experienced. And it was during the 2020 time period that I feel like God has humbled me to such a point that I feel like I was a baby Christian. Even though I've been doing ministry for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I felt like during suffering that I've realized I did not know how to pray. It was only in the past 5 years that God has taught me the ministry and power of prayer. That our God is a very big God that can answer very big prayers. And something amazing happens when the church comes together and prays, and prays. I've learned this from being on the mission field in China, in Africa, that maybe they don't have such sound theology, but what they do, they have very strong prayer ministry. Christians outside of Canada are very prayer-minded. And number four, we come alongside churches to equip churches to share what we see in the Jewish community and also invite people to participate with us in some of the many of the events. You know, me and Amy, we're only two people. Some of our friends are in Vancouver, and there's a population of 2 million in British Columbia. And they say it's like, well, 1 million for my wife, another million for me. And you know what? That's not how ministry is done. Throughout the whole New Testament, Apostle Paul joins up with other people, joins up with other teams and the churches. And so we have a lot of ministries, a lot of things that you can, if you ever want to participate in reaching out to Jewish people, feel free to contact us. You know, at the end of the service, I will have a table at the back. We have some free materials. Now, I haven't checked. Maybe it's all gone now. So, but, you know, God bless you. But we also have some books and for sale. And, but also, one of the things that I love about, there's many Christian Jewish ministries. What I really love about Friends of Israel is that Friends of Israel is a very generous and very giving ministry. And the Jewish people, oftentimes, they ask, you know, you're so generous. How do you do it? I said, because we believe in a very generous God. In fact, our whole salvation is based on a gift. And so, Friends of Israel, we are here to equip churches. We're here to be a resource. We're here to encourage you. We're not here to fight over any other ministry. We're just here to share the calling and the purpose that God has given us. Our mission, this is our official mission. We are a worldwide evangelical ministry proclaiming the biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah while bringing physical and spiritual comfort to the Jewish people. Our vision is to see everyone believe in God's Son and understand God's plan for the ages. We were established in 1938 to help Jewish people escape the atrocities of genocide during World War II Holocaust. Today, our mission remains the same, building bridges and bringing hope in more than 18 countries around the world. Our pastors work in Israel while we work with Canadian Jewish organizations which open doors and opportunities everywhere, but especially in Israel. We work with the Israeli Red Cross, which is called David's Shield, the Canadian Magen David Adom. We work with the Christian organization called Laket, which is also a food bank. There's so much. And they're all in Canada as well. They have representatives here in Canada as well. And so what we do here with those Jewish organizations, that opens doors for our pastors and churches in Israel. We also have conferences that we do. This year we will have 5 conferences: Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Manitoba, and another place. Sorry, somewhere. Maybe Edmonton. You don't know. Maybe Edmonton, or even here. It doesn't matter. Whatever God calls, God's will be done. Our will be undone. We're just open. What I do, besides evangelism, besides outreach, we also try to do bring biblical teaching, especially trying to see how the Jewish people see the Old Testament, and from there leap to Jesus Christ, leap through what the New Testament says. My prayer is that the Jewish people will actually be able to, by God's grace, read the New Testament. For me, the New Testament fits in like a glove. It fits perfectly in with the Old. And so we do Hanukkah, we do Passover Seders, we teach on the biblical feasts of Israel. And so this brings me to the ministry that I have today. Usually a Passover Seder takes 8 hours. I only have about 15 minutes. So people say I'm crazy, but I will do my best. I gave not all of you, man, you guys are really a blessed church. You have a lot of people here. But whoever got this little brochure, well, consider yourself blessed. But I didn't have enough. But that's amazing. But on it, it will have my outline of my sermon. And I'm going to talk about the Passover. I'm going to just slowly bring this out. Thank you, my wife, Amy. Okay. Yes. So, what we do here is not a ritual. There are already enough rituals that don't do anything. A Passover Seder is what our communion is. Because the Last Supper was a Passover meal. It's to do it in remembrance. It's to remember what God did in the Old Testament, but also it points also to the future, but also it points to the now. It points to a lot of things. So I will never, ever want this to become a ritual. Jewish people do it as a ritual. There's a lot of rituals. This is a teaching moment to pass down to generations of Christians that what God has done in the Old Testament and to find Jesus Christ in the Passover. A Passover Seder starts with a woman turning on, lighting the candles. Now, I'm a very clumsy man. I did not bring real candles. So I love you too much to burn you down today. But a woman in the Jewish tradition starts the Seder by lighting the candles. And why a woman? Well, I would say it's because it's through the woman, through the woman that came Jesus Christ, through the Virgin Mary. And so, Amy, you have this. There you go. Magic. And so, all right. The Passover story is a really important story. It's the cross of the New Testament. That's how important it is. The redemption and the salvation of Jewish people from the slavery, the bondage of Egypt. For hundreds of years, the descendants of Jacob, they were enslaved in Egypt, building for Pharaoh great cities. They were oppressed with hard labor from digging clay to the making of bricks along with all kinds of field work. And they were shown no mercy. And that's why the contrast of the God of Israel is that he is a merciful God. And everywhere you see in the Passover Seder is mercy. What a big contrast to the darkness of being in Egypt. In spite of their oppression, their population increased. God heard the cries of the children of Israel. He saw their bondage and their misery, and through a burning bush, he called Moses to become their deliverer, a type of Christ. He told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell the Pharaoh, "Let his people go." Egypt was a culture of death. Their gods and goddesses glorified death. Their pharaohs were immortalized in grand pyramids and in tombs filled with symbols of death. Their book for immortalizing those who passed on was called the Necromancon, I think, or the Book of the Dead. And so God gave them what they worshipped and honored most, death. Though the children of Israel, God would reveal himself to the Jewish people, but also to the Egyptians. In order to protect his people from the death of the firstborn, he had them bring a lamb or a goat into their home for 4 days. It had to be an animal without defect, a first-year male, and enough to feed each household. After caring for their animals for 4 days, the Israelites were to slaughter them at twilight, after sunset, when the sun is below the horizon and a soft glowing light emanates from the sky. They were to put some of the animal's blood on the sides and tops of the door frames where they were going to eat the meal. Traditionally, it looks like the Hebrew letter Chet, which is like a door. To a lot of Christians that I've talked to them, it represents the sign of the cross. Here, here, and here. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. As the Israelites remain in their homes, the blood on their doorposts will be a sign to God, the destroyer. When he saw the sign of blood, he would pass over. That's why we get the name Passover. God would pass over to any house that had the blood of the lamb on it. The firstborn sons who were in the home protected by the blood. I did want to open up scripture today. It's going to be in the Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. And it's very interesting because that's where we get the four cups of Passover. The four cups of Passover. And the Jewish people, they actually take it through Exodus 6. It's called the four I wills of God. The four I wills of God. Exodus chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 6 through 7 says, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Jewish people, actually, when they think of the four cups of the Passover meal, they use this passage. For every I will is a cup. Now, I actually was reading during a devotional, and I found something interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says something interesting. But in him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As I will go over the four cups today, you'll notice some of the words, sanctification and redemption. And so throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ is always being pointed out as being in the Passover Seder. And so every year, and this year is in April, you can go to synagogues, to Jewish communities, to senior centers, And almost every Jewish person will celebrate a Passover Seder. And from my experience, people always said, "You're a Christian. How do you know about this?" And so this is so helpful. That if you ever want to reach out to your Jewish friends, tell them, "Can we do a can we celebrate Passover together? Show me what you know and I'll show you what I know." And so the first cup is the cup of sanctification. It comes from the first "I will" of Exodus. "I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians." The word sanctification comes from, we have the word saint, to be set apart, the Holy One, to be set apart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." The cup of sanctification should remind us that we were set apart from the world and we are placed in Jesus Christ. To grow further apart from sin and to grow towards Jesus Christ. This is what our Christian life ought to look like. Now you're thinking, "Well, this seems to be very difficult. I just don't feel sanctified. I'm still a slave to sin." Well, there's good news for you. The second cup is called the cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance. The first cup is the cup of sanctification. The second cup is the cup of deliverance. If while doing and thinking about sanctification, thinking about, we have to be holy as God is holy, and then you realize, I can't do that. Well, you might be thinking that you might be a slave to sin. And this is where the second cup comes in. It's to remind you that, yes, you are in sin. You are in bondage of sin. But it doesn't have to be. God did something to save people who are in bondage to sin. The cup of deliverance. It comes from the second "I will" of Exodus. "I will rid you out of their bondage." Romans 6:20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." When you were slaves to sin. Every Christian is born in sin. Every Christian needs to be born again to a new and living hope. And so, if you are wondering, if you're stuck, "Man, I cannot feel sanctified," don't worry about that. Think about what Jesus Christ did for you. He lived a life that you could never live for a second. He lived that sanctified life, the perfect life. He died that you might live. And that's what the cup of deliverance reminds us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That on the cross, there was a transaction that happened. Our cup of sin was put upon Jesus Christ. And his righteousness was then given to us. A transaction was happening. That when God looked at Jesus Christ on the cross, he saw your sin, my sin, the sin of the world. But because of Jesus Christ, and because to anyone who believes in him today, you believe on Jesus Christ, you too can have this cup of righteousness. Now when God looks at you, he doesn't see that sin anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why we can say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's why we can say we have eternal life. There's no more. I can put my head on a pillow. If I don't wake up today, I know where I'll be. Because I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow is not promised. to anyone. 10 out of 10 people die. You can be an older man and live tomorrow. You can be a younger child and die. That's why salvation by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ is so important. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life." The cup of deliverance from the slavery of sin. We come now to the third cup. The cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. Maybe some of you do know, maybe some of you don't know. But the word Jesus in Hebrew means salvation. It means Yeshua. So every time it says salvation of Adonai, it says Yeshua of Adonai. And so I even had Jewish friends tell me, "Yeah, Jesus is salvation." No. The word Jesus means salvation. So when I say the cup of salvation, I mean the cup of Jesus, the cup of Yeshua. And it comes from the third "I will." "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm." Redemption. To be bought for a price. Very expensive price. "I will redeem you." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'll say it again. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something, when in the garden, when the serpent came to Eve and said, "You will be like God," that mentality, that thinking has been passed on to the world. Because every single religion, every single person, when you ask them, "How do I go to heaven?" And they say, "Well, I have to earn my salvation. I have to be a good person. I have to save myself. I have to be my own savior." That's what sin did to the thinking of mankind. They want to be like God. They want to be like Jesus Christ. They want to save themselves by doing good deeds. Well, the Bible says, number one, your conscience says you can't do it. You can never do enough good things. You can never do enough good works. But by very definition, anything that says that they are holy yet has sin is not holy. And if God is a holy God, he must be just. He must hate evil. He must hate sin. And so coming to God through our own good deeds, through our own, you know, works, and simply will never work. Salvation is by faith and faith alone in Yeshua, in Jesus. And this is the cup of salvation. And I believe this is the cup of the communion that Jesus did. "Do this in remembrance of me." And so this is why the Passover is so important. I've done this in China. I've done this in many places. And this opened up so many doors to sharing the gospel, to sharing the love of Christ. I did this in a university, in a communist university. And it's amazing what God can do when you have faith. Because I lived in China for 7 years. I was a university teacher for 4 years. And God allowed me to do a Passover Seder in some of my classes. Secular classes. And what an eye-opening experience this is. And finally, we come to the cup of acceptance. It's the last "I will." "I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." The cup of acceptance. you know, I don't know. I just don't know how people without Jesus Christ could live in a world so dark. It's a very spiritual world. A very spiritual world. People believe in spirits, people believe in demons, people believe in Satan. How can they live a single life outside of God, outside of knowing God, going through life by themselves? I just can't even fathom living a single life without knowing, without being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. I think, like I mentioned before, when I tell Jewish people, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles. And they see the love of Christ in Christians. They see that you read your Bibles. They see that you pray. Not like in a ritual with words that almost have no meaning. But you pray from the heart. But also they see testimony. They see that God of Israel, Abraham and Jacob, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has answered your prayers. And they wonder, what is it that you have? Amen for that, huh? And so, the primary message of the Passover is about relationship. Going from a relationship with sin, being a slave to sin, trying to escape from sin with your own, you know, works and your own methods, and then failing and turning into a relationship with God. Turning to a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what it is to mean a Christian. To love Jesus Christ. To fall in love with Jesus Christ. That's what happened to me in China when I was 25 years old. I didn't have an ounce of knowledge about Christianity. But somebody dared to go to China and give me scripture, give me the Bible. And from the very first day, I remember when I became a Christian, I believed in Jesus Christ. I put Him first. This darkness left me. I became a Christian because I fell in love with Jesus Christ. Cup of acceptance. God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And because of that, because Jesus has overcome death, the grave, He died so that I can live. And He resurrected, proving that He is God. He defeated death. And now, you know, though we live in this world in these mortal bodies, we have a hope that surpasses all understanding. And that hope is that one day, that we, right now, we just live by faith, not by sight. But at some point, we will see Jesus and we will touch Him and we will know Him. What a wonderful gift that this is. The gift of salvation. I'm going to pray, and so, Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity. Thank You for every single breath and moment. Lord, I pray that all of us would just grow in the love of Jesus Christ. Thank You for every single one of them. I pray for Westlock. I pray for Edmonton, Lord. You have shown Your mighty hand over this city, over the darkness of Alberta. And so, Lord, over the darkness of Canada, You have raised up wonderful churches, wonderful people who love the Scriptures and who love Jesus Christ. And because of that, they also love Israel. They love the Jewish people. I am so thankful for each and every one of us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You for this time. Thank You so much. I will have a free table. And we'll have some books for sale. And you can talk to me. You can have my cards and my info. Thank you so much.